Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome into Revolution Zone right here on Blog Talk Radio, presented by Impact Media. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks again for joining us for a very special edition, Revolution Zone. Obviously, we are still in the off-season, but as I said, as soon as I find out who the Revolution players are going to be, I want to bring them on the show so you guys can get to know them. So without further ado, I want to bring on my very special guest tonight. He is, of course, one of the latest Revolution, and he is returning for another season. He is wide receiver Jeff Willis. How you doing tonight, Jeff?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys?
I am doing pretty good. Enjoying the weather lately.
It is. It's pretty nice out, I got to say.
It is. I got friends all over the U.S., and each one of them, nobody's really complained this week. So I'll take that as a good day.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very rare that the entire U.S. has good weather, but so far it seems that way.
Hey, me being a Florida native, man, they down there getting a lot of nice weather, too, off the lake, so it's pretty nice down there as well.
Definitely so, and that's probably a place we'd both rather be right now, I think.
For me right now, I think I'd take Texas.
That's true. Texas is a pretty good spot, too. Of course, like I said, you have been re-signed. You were with the team last year, but you had the injury that kept you out, right?
Right.
And so how's the injury now?
Everything is going good, man. I've done a lot of rehab. Right now I'm at full tilt right now. I'm currently working with my trainers here in Arlington. So for me, man, I'm going in completely different from last year. I'm looking forward to just impacting the game in any way I can.
And I definitely will never say anything for using that word, for sure. Impact's one of my favorite words, if you didn't know.
I mean, well, that's kind of the deal, man. For last year, I felt like I was helpful. But I felt like when the guys really needed me the most, I got banged up. And, you know, for me this year, I just want to make sure I train as hard as I possibly can. That way I'm able to put my body through the physical stress that you go throughout a regular season.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was it like, even though you were on the sidelines for part of it, what was that season like last year from that perspective?
Oh, man, it was everybody's fighting for each other. That's what it was, man. I think we built a brotherhood that was going to be remembered forever. Everybody in that locker room was able to look each other in the eye, whether you were dressing this week or whether you wasn't dressing. But we were able to look each other in the eyes collectively as a unit and fight for each other. And I'm just praying that, you know, we come together this year with that same mentality and just finish off what we started.
Yeah, it was definitely a family-like atmosphere, and each one of you guys that I've been able to speak to, and including even the front office guys, John and Matt, of course, and then even Sonny Clark, the voice of the Revolution, he said it's such a family environment. It's really crazy. You usually don't see that kind of thing in sports as close as you guys got.
Well, one thing I always like to refer back to, man, when you think about the Baltimore Ravens when they won that Super Bowl a few years back, it wasn't that they was the most talented team, but they was the most connected team. They had a great leader within that organization, and within that influence, it was able to bring that city a championship, and ultimately that's what we want to do here in Texas.
Absolutely, and you guys should know what it takes because you are just a fraction of a second away from winning that game.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Unfortunately, we didn't pull it through. But again, like I said, I hope and pray that, you know, we bring that same work ethic and that same passion to the game this year and be able to finish it out.
Absolutely. And I know you definitely got supporters here with us along with all the fans there. Let's see. Where is it going to get? I lost track. I started skipping around my list here. It's been a weird week here. We've here at Impact Media, we've pretty much doubled our workload with a lot of the works we were doing this week. So it's been interesting, but I most look forward to talking to you guys, so it's been fun. What have you been up to in the off season? We'll start there.
Well, obviously I work full time. Right now I'm the marketing director over at Mattress Firm. But as far as the season concerned, like I said before, I'm training. I'm at full tilt right now. I'm training. I'm doing a four quarter segment, which means I can train my body in a way where in the fourth quarter it kind of feels like my first quarter. So therefore, it's not a down slap throughout the quarter. So right now, I'm in the middle of just making my muscle endurance, bringing my muscle endurance up, and things like that. So I'm going really hard, man. This is going into my 8th or 9th year, like something like that, professionally. I've been all over with plans. So, you know, you kind of want to kind of go out, you know, the way you started. So I'm putting everything on the table, man, and making sure my team is able to use me in any way that they see fit to bring that championship back to Texas.
And you along with Ronnie Cooper Jr., who we spoke to last night, you're also a big guy. You're 6'2", about 185, right?
Yeah, 6'2", 185.
Or at least that's what it's listed. I mean, I know sports is a lot like pro wrestling. It's not always 100% accurate, but I do believe back
I'm somewhere in the middle of 183, 180, 185 for sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure that Matt and John are on top of this, that they're not going to fudge anything too much. But I do remember a couple years ago that Texas A&M said Johnny Manziel was 6 feet tall. So, I mean, you know, it happens sometimes.
Hey, man, we're talking about Johnny Money, man. He's a different he's a different character. But, you know, they sometimes enhance, you know, a player's height or weight. In certain instances. So, you know, that's something across the board, I think that happens all over.
Do you remember what your 40 time was, or do you know what your current 40 time is?
I'm somewhere in the 4-4 range right now. I'm looking to knock it down going into camp. But I'm somewhere in that range of play.
Wow, that is like we said last night when we were talking to Ronnie, that's super fast. That's lightning fast.
Well, and for me, man, it's been more so about my route running ability more so than my speed. The arena game is such a finesse. It's such a finesse sport, and it's kind of completely different from outside. So you just have to make sure that, you know, everything is not about speed, and it's more so about your finesse and your knowledge of the game. But yeah, I can definitely run a little bit.
I think that's more than a little bit. One of your former teammates, Taylor, just forgot his last name. Wow, I feel bad. Taylor's gonna slam me for this. McCullough?
Oh, McCullough, yeah.
He wants me to come out to a practice sometime out that way. I think he's challenged me to a 40-yard dash, and right now, it'd be pretty embarrassing. I got to work on it. But,
it don't take long, man. Come out here. We can get you ready.
Hey, he thinks I can outrun some of the linemen, and I said maybe for a little while, but I would hate to beat them and then they catch me.
Yeah, it would be bad. It would be bad. It would be bad. Some definitely big boys for the most of them.
Oh yeah, and they're all super nice. All you guys are super nice. I'd feel bad about it.
Yeah, man. I mean, we try to keep that bond going, man. We try to be as open as we can be with each other. That way, everything stays in house. I think that's something that's very important for us, man. I gotta say, in all my years of playing, the year I won the championship out in PA, And last year's football team were the two greatest teams I think I've ever been a part of in terms of, you know, the connection in the locker room. There was not one time or one moment that we looked at each other in the eyes last year and felt like we were going to lose a game. Every game we felt like we could win going in. We just want to make sure we're working hard in the offseason this year to prepare us to be able to excel in those moments this year.
And, of course, you went to Langston University, right?
Right.
And, of course, that is Langston, Oklahoma. I don't know if it's the Fighting Lions, but I know it's the Lions, the Navy Blue and Orange Lions. I know the address of the school. Before we get into your time at Langston, the address of the school is Sammy Davis Jr. Drive. Did he go there?
To be honest, I couldn't tell you.
Or maybe he's just from the area and that's the name of the road. I'm going to get my stat guy to look at that. Maybe we can figure it out
by
the end.
The road is on actually Langston University Drive. Like it's off of once you come off the highway, you turn right into the school. It's literally in the middle of nowhere.
Huh. That's something we'll have to look up.
I can't like remember the exact address. I've been out of college since like 2008. So it's been a minute, but I can't quite remember the address, but I know a few years ago I went back for homecoming, and that road was now called Langston University Drive.
And, of course, my stat guy, he may not can tell me the answer to what I wanted, but he did let me know that the current basketball coach there is Olympian Cheryl Miller.
Yeah, man, Cheryl Miller is there. Yeah, absolutely.
The most talented of the Miller kids, of course.
I wouldn't say that. Now, Reggie was a bad boy.
Reggie's one of my favorites. And just in the off chance that him or somebody he knows was listening, Dan Patrick likes to make fun of him that way and say that he's the second most talented Miller kid. But, you know, tell me a little bit about your time at Langston University.
I spent 3 years at Langston. I went to Langston I went to a junior college my freshman year at IRCC, which is in Fort Pierce, Florida. I played basketball. I originally took a basketball scholarship there, and then from there I transferred to Langston. I spent 2 years on the actual football team. The first year I didn't play. So the last 2 years I ended up playing there. I walked away with about 11 touchdowns.
Wow.
Somewhere between, I would say probably 70 catches within those 2 years. And, you know, from there I bounced around from CFL to the AFL, and I won a championship down in Reading, Pennsylvania with the Reading Express. And then I also played in Lehigh with Coach Chris Thompson. So I've been around a little bit, man.
You know, I was going to mention the Express and the Steelhawks, but since you already mentioned that, we'll get to it in a second. But I was able to pull up a list. Do you know some of the famous alumni that also went to Langston University?
Chad Johnson actually went to Langston for a period of time. Prior to him, you know, obviously having some misunderstanding or whatnot. He didn't transfer, but he started there. And I can't really, like, as far as, like, celebrities, I really can't recall any off the top of my head that I can say that I'm aware of that were in there.
Well, you definitely knocked the one out. There's only two that I really recognize off this list I'm looking at. But, yeah, I'm an Ocho fan, so... So I definitely knew Chad went there, but also singer Jennifer Hudson went there.
I don't think she graduated from there, though.
No, I don't think so. I think she just went for a little while, and then that singing career kind of took off.
Yeah, I don't think she would have definitely came in after me for sure. But I don't think she was a Langston grad. That would have been a big deal. Like that would have been. That would have been something that would have kind of blown up a little bit.
Yeah, it seemed like you would have got an email or a letter in the mail about that or something, right?
I mean, Facebook tells you everything, so.
Right, right. And if it's on the internet, it has to be true. So.
Yeah, it has to be true. I'm saying I'm not saying she did not go there. I'm saying that I don't think she was a, you know, Jennifer Hudson. And in terms of like her interviews and stuff like that, that would have been something that was talked about, because I know for a fact that Langston is definitely coming, is on the upcoming in terms of the HBCUs.
Absolutely. And, of course, you did mention the Reading Express and the Lehigh Valley Steelhawks, and you were able to win the championship with Reading. So how can you parlay what you've learned from your experience in Reading and Lehigh Valley into your time with the Revolution?
I think for me, man, I was lucky. I walked into a team that was built to last. I walked into a team where it was a family atmosphere. Like, we were, like, actually, we were brothers. Like, we looked at each other in the eye. Like, we cried on each other's shoulder. Like, it was a bond. I mean, when I was in Reading, it wasn't about, like, we got to a point as a team where I knew what you were thinking before you thought it. So it made our team that much greater, because I knew as a receiver, if there's a zone that's being played, I know what he's thinking already. So it made my job that much more easy. You know? So it's just like that trust, man, that real family oriented, like, I got you, you got me, I trust you, you trust me. Are you gonna be the person that make the play, or are you gonna be the person that watch the play make? You know, and we had each other back out there, which we did last year. You know, I lost one in Reading the same way and came back the next year and won it.
I definitely think it's possible this year. Go ahead.
In 2008 in Reading, we lost it in the championship by like 2 points or 3 points or something like that. And then last year we turned around and lose it in the same exact way in a matter of a second. So now coming back together with a lot of the guys that we had last year, I mean, we're going to add on some places. We got a new coach that's going to be a great deal. We got a great defensive coordinator in Rashad. I think we're going to do great things.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, have you met the new head coach, Victor Mann?
Yeah, man. I went down to the first open workout that they had a few weeks back, I guess, maybe a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went and worked out with some of the guys that you know, they had come in and try out for the team and different things like that. I was actually one of the guys that was out there working out with a lot of those guys. And that was my first time of my first introduction of him. But I think he has a great philosophy, from what I understand. I hear he has a great heart, and you know, for us players, man, that's all we really care about, you know, somebody that, you know, gonna stand in the paint for us.
Absolutely, and go ahead.
Yeah, so for us as players, man, I mean, you know, that's all we really want in a coach.
Definitely so. And did you say they have an offensive coordinator already?
Oh, I don't know if they have an offensive coordinator. I was talking about the defensive coordinator. I think Rashard Washington got that position.
Okay.
He got a big background in defensive football. He played with the New York Jets, and you know, he got a great background in defensive, and he was one of the guys on the defensive team last year. So, you know, that just says that the defensive part of the foot side of the ball is already going to be profound.
Yep. You know, absolutely.
That brings you some form of comfort.
It definitely does. Along with re-signing a lot of you guys that have been with the team before. I announced last night, obviously we had Frankie Solomon Jr. on a couple weeks ago. We had Ronnie Cooper Jr. last night. We have you, of course, tonight. Still, Cody Berry is coming back, Jordan Brown and Darius Fudge. I mean, you guys are all
this is
your second or third years or better with this team. So that's a good veteran core right there.
Hey, man, we are here. I said when I re-signed and John put everything out, man, I said in it, like, God, you better be prepared, because we're going to be ready. And we're going to be prepared. and we're going to already know how to gel with each other because we just went through it. We know what it was like to get on that bus and come back to Texas.
Yep, absolutely. And, of course, so, I'm on with wide receiver Jeff Willis of your Texas Revolution right here on Revolution Zone. Let's see. What's your training program, or what's the focus of your training program?
Honestly, man, I know it kind of contradicts what I just said earlier, man, but I'm really focusing on my speed. Because I understand that at the end of the day, in terms of you getting to the next level, you can be as finesse as you want, but in scouting, speed counts. I know naturally I can run, but I want to get back to how I was, where I was in college and things like that, where I'm really, really organized and more structured and disciplined in just that particular area right now.
And then your daily training schedule, do you like to change it up, or do you designate days like a lot of other people do? I know you're working on your speed, but is there a certain routine you go through, or just whatever you're feeling that day?
I usually keep mine pretty simple. I get out and get my morning runs in before work. I usually maybe hit the gym afterwards. I still get my two days a week on the field where I'm getting into my routes. A little bit. That's outside of obviously the stuff that you do with your trainer. But I try and get out there and get that stuff in as much as I can too.
I think that's definitely it's better, at least for me, it's better to keep it simple. And I think a lot of you guys like to keep it simple, because that way if you get too complicated, I think, with a workout, then sometimes you can kind of confuse yourself as to what you're trying to obtain, I think.
Well, I think a lot of times, man, when you're trying to do things that you've never done at this stage, at this point in your life, you're gonna create issues somewhere in the season, because you overworking now at this point an area in which you've never used. You know, that's just like you using your left hand your entire life. Now you're forced to use your right. It's not gonna be as great. Something's
exactly.
gonna go wrong. You know what I mean? So if you sprain an ankle and now you use your left leg more than your right leg, at some point your hamstring on your left leg is going to bother you because you're overpopulating for the other one. It's part of the game, you know? So that's why you just stick to, like me, for example, I'm a receiver. So I stick to things that receivers need most, which is my legs, my lower body strength, and my speed.
I think
So instead of, you know, everybody, I don't want to be the guy that want to come out here and say, hey, man, I can lift 325 15 times. No. What I'm going to tell you is if you get in front of me, you're not going to stop me from catching this football, whether I can bench 325 or not. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's what I've always told people, because, you know, not everybody's fast or not everybody has got certain abilities or something like that. And so I've always told them, I was like, well, if you're a receiver, the most important thing is A, can you catch and can you do it consistently? And B, can you get open? Because, I mean, I think Jerry Rice had a 40 time of like 4.6 or 4.7. Yeah.
A 4.6. Anquan Boldin, a 4.6.
Exactly. And yet he knows how to get open, so he'll always catch. Look at Steve Smith. Steve Smith is like 5'8", and he can get open.
And we're talking about Pro Bowlers.
Yep.
And we're talking about Pro Bowlers. But see, this is the part that's frightening. The part that's frightening is that when you go to the combine, none of that stuff matters. It's what you can put on paper. So it forces you to train in that area because to them, it's what's mattered.
Yep.
So you got to do it regardless. No matter, you can't complain about it. You just know, hey, man, I may be a low, a high 4-5 guy, but I can get separation. And I can score touchdowns,
Well,
but
one of the best.
Go
ahead.
You don't see no 4-5 guys going to the league. Not at receiver.
No.
No, I think so.
No.
Well, <we're
laughs> but no. What I was gonna say is I was fortunate enough before last year's draft. It was about, I can't remember exactly when it was, but I was able to participate in a media event with Allen Robinson, who is now the wide receiver number one in Jacksonville. And
right.
At the time, I got a chance to ask him a handful of questions. So one of the questions I asked him is, I said, knowing that you're not the fastest guy out there, you know, I was talking about how he's probably one of the best route runners coming out as far as that draft class was. And I said, you should, you know, to me, being a route runner is just as important as speed, because it's all about getting open. And I'm not afraid to toot my own horn and pat my own self on the back that I told him he'd make a great Jaguar, and then they turn around and listen to me. But, I mean, do you kind of agree with that, that, you know, you can get open through speed, but you can also get open through the physicality that, like, you and Ronnie have, and just the ability to get open?
For me, honestly, man, I think that the art at the receiver is in his route running ability. Like, that's the art of it. If you're going to sit there and tell yourself that, hey, look, man, I'm going to be a great receiver, it's impossible for you to be a great receiver if you're not a route runner. That's the nature of the game. The nature of the game is you to run routes one-on-one and get open and catch the football. So in terms of if I agree, I would definitely have to agree, because, you know, again, we're talking about a Steve Smith. We're talking about, these are facts. You look at a Steve Smith, you look at an Anquan Boldin, you look at a Jerry Rice, you look at a Tim Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys wasn't speedster, but we're talking about Hall of Famers that they gave a shot to, that somebody took a chance on. Because these guys went in at their pro day and before the draft running these times. So it wasn't like it was something that they got injured and they dropped down to this. They went in. You don't see guys like that going in. Those are. And we're talking about, I mean, Anquan Boldin was a first round draft pick, or a second, a high second round. I can't remember for sure, but I know he's one for sure.
He was one of the other.
Yeah, man.
Jerry Rice was.
You know, these
fourth, fifth round, something like that.
Yeah. But now, if you run a 4.6 or low 4.5, you're not even getting looked at.
No.
It ain't many. You think of guys like Odell Beckham. He's a great route runner.
Mm-hmm.
Not only can he catch, but he can run a route. Odell Beckham will make you fall.
His teammate Victor Cruz is the same way.
Same way. Like Dez Bryant, for example. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the guy, but he's not a route runner, yo. He's just gonna out muscle you. He's just gonna out muscle you though, and you're not gonna do nothing about it.
Yeah, he makes up for not being the best route runner by just
with his body.
Right. He's gonna with fight you for the ball, and you're gonna lose.
Yeah, and you're gonna lose. And you're gonna lose because he's gonna out muscle you somehow. He's gonna do it. But he's not a great route runner. He wasn't a Marvin Harrison or a Reggie Wayne or somebody. Like, the boys ran routes.
Oh wow, we were both off on Jerry Rice. He was a first round pick. I didn't know that. I guess we both learned something. He was in 1985. He was a first round pick, 16th overall. Wow.
16th overall. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Well, they saw it then. But
hey,
you know,
but it ain't no first round draft pick going at a 4.6 in the lead no more ever again. But that was our point.
Well, and just like you were saying, I've always argued that a lot of the things at the combine are a little outdated, and some of that information just doesn't tell you what you need to know. Like, you know, if we all strip down to a T-shirt and shorts and run a 40-yard dash is one thing, but if I got all the pads on and I catch a ball and I'm out racing you for the score, I'm a lot faster with people chasing me than I am running down a track.
Well, what I can say to that is this. You have great testers and you have great football players or great athletes. Everybody's not going to test well. It doesn't matter if I just don't think it matters, because when the only thing that counts is when those lights go on and the score is 0-0 and then that final score. That's the only thing that really matters. It doesn't matter if you can test well, if you can run the offense, or if you can find your place in somewhere in the defense and you fit it and it works for you and your team is winning and you're doing what you need to do so that you're doing your job. It doesn't matter where you tested at. You know what I mean? Like, the same goes back to those four or five guys that we just got done talking about. These are guys that were tested terrible. But these guys are a Hall of Famer just because they were given an opportunity.
Exactly.
If they were, none of them test well.
Exactly. Not everybody tests well. You got to get them in that game environment to me, and that's when those guys and that's when you guys truly shine, is when you get that game environment and go, I don't care what the paper said, that guy's better than that other guy, and he just beat him.
Yeah, and that's what it's about, man. I mean, it's about the guy in front of you. Are you going to be the person that make the play, or are you going to watch the play being made?
Exactly. As far as your workout, are you a music person, or do you like silence? And if you do like music, what's on your playlist?
I definitely like music. I have a mixture of a lot, man. Actually, man, I got a lot of the Florida A&M marching band.
Wow.
I got a lot of their songs on my playlist, but it's the actual band, like playing some of the Florida A&M anthem songs. I have Meek Mills. I have J. Cole. I have a little bit of variety, man. But I try to keep it educational as possible, or as inspirational as possible in terms of the things that is going in my ears. So outside of that, man, I listen to what the normal guy, I guess, will listen to.
I actually like that mix. I was a band kid for 4.5 years in high school, so I always enjoy hearing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, being a Florida boy, man, it's nothing like coming out of that tunnel and having my headphones in my ears and I can hear the band and that's all I hear. And it's just a different... It's just a different feeling. It's a different emotion. It's something that connects you to home. So I try to keep that stuff as close as I can to me.
Well, we're going to try to power through these last few questions here. A couple of them are some fun questions towards the end. A couple of them are kind of serious. But just finishing up here with wide receiver Jeff Willis of the Texas Revolution. Of course, we've got about 10 minutes left or so. Let's see. Yeah, we'll go with some of the serious ones, and then we'll get into the fun ones towards the end. What's your season outlook or your goals for this year?
One game at a time. One game at a time. Ultimately, we want to win it all. Doesn't matter how it comes. Doesn't matter if it's ugly or pretty. We just want to make sure we knock them out one at a time, and make sure we go out like we are intending to, which is just to bring the championship back to Texas.
I definitely like that for sure. And, I mean, you can only win one game at a time. That's what I tell people.
Yeah, I mean, you have to do it like that. I mean, you can't look ahead. Tomorrow is never promised, so what would you give for today? And that kind of got to be the logic, man. Who knows what tomorrow may bring? What would you do in the moment right now? And that's gonna be what I'm gonna be talking about in camp. What would you give for today? If tomorrow ain't promised,
So, exactly. That's something I live by. If tomorrow's not promised, what did you do today?
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's talk real quickly about South Bay, Florida. That's your hometown, correct?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about growing up in South Bay.
It's a real, real small town. Real, real small town. Probably 3,500 people, maybe.
Okay.
And it's split within one red light. It's one red light that separates everything. It's 22 streets, no, 21 streets.
Wow.
And, you know, so it's really, really small. Obviously you grew up in an area where you got the violence and all that kind of stuff. You know, but for me, I think my mom did a really good job in terms of making sure I was sheltered from as much as she could shelter me from. So for that, I thank her. But yeah, man, South Bay was, you know, it's my city. It's what has built me to who I am today. So I'm grateful for what it was and what
That's
it
awesome.
Is.
That's awesome, and definitely shout out to your mom. She did do a good job because you're definitely a good guy there, Jeff.
I appreciate it.
And then I got three real quick ones. Hopefully three. We could spawn off of them, but about 8 minutes left in the show or so. Let's talk about fashion for a second, because when I was checking out your Facebook as I was doing some homework here. You seem to have your own unique style, and as somebody who is redoing his wardrobe in myself, and I like to have my own unique style. Tell me a little bit about yours.
I think for me, man, I think I'm really, really comfortable with who I am and what I represent. So a lot of times, man, I just put together things that the average guy probably wouldn't put on. But in many occasions, you know, you get a lot of compliments off it, man. It's a weird generation right now. And you can pretty much wear anything. It's just a matter of you obviously color coordinating it accordingly. But yeah, you can pretty much wear anything with anything now. You can wear a leopard with plain colors and stuff. Like, it's weird. And it looks, you know, when you put it on, it looks, you know, pretty unique.
Yeah. I think it comes down to, as long as you're comfortable with yourself, that you can really pull off anything you want.
It's a comfortability thing, man. You have to be confident enough to wear it, because if somebody makes the wrong statement about it or something and you hear it, you know, it could really, really offend you. And you could take it, you know, in a good way, or you may know how to manage that situation. You may not, you know. So for a lot of people, they're not comfortable enough to wear that awkward or the loud colors and all of that kind of stuff. And that was something my mom put in me early. You know, you can wear it.
Exactly.
So I wear it.
Exactly.
But I appreciate the love, though.
Hey, no problem. Like I said, I will, you know, for all of our listeners that haven't seen how I dress when I'm up in media booths and stuff like that, I'll be covering the Georgia State game here in the Georgia Dome on Saturday. I'll text or I'll tweet out a picture or Facebook it or something of what I look like up in the media booth. And I'm definitely probably the most well-dressed guy up there, but I'm also probably the most eccentric. So.
Hey, man, you got to keep a happy mix, you know?
Exactly.
It's kind of weird, man, because, you know, me coming from Florida, sometimes I can make myself look like I'm from Texas, and it's a cool look. You know, I can put my cowboy boots on with my jeans and stuff and make it look hip-hop, and it looks cool, you know?
Exactly. And we got two quick ones left, real quick. If you were in charge of the halftime show at the Revolution game, what kind of halftime show would I be watching?
Something that would involve every kid in the building. Something where I could get every kid in the building that would be at the game. Somehow, I would try and get something where every kid in that building can get down on the field and just have that 15 seconds of galore. So for me, it would be something that involves our next generation, which is our kids.
Wow, I really like that. And since I haven't aimlessly plugged anything on this show yet. Matt Lunsford, if you're listening, I know you are because you just retweeted my post about the show. Matt, if you're listening, how about we can dress Matt up in some sort of costume and have all the kids like throw footballs at some sort of competition at him or something like that?
Yeah, something. I mean, when you think about it, man, what would that do for a kid's morale?
Exactly. Getting to come on the field and be a part.
Yeah, man. That's a big moment. And some of those kids sometimes come up to us, man, and talk to us, and you look at them, and sometimes those are proud moments, man. Those are moments you can't get back, and that kid will remember you for the rest of his life.
Yep, you know, never know.
That stuff you can't
in 15 or 20 years, that kid could be on the other side signing an autograph or taking a picture for the next generation.
And for that should be enough for you. That should be satisfactory enough. And, you know, for me, I think, you know, that's just my opinion.
Oh, I agree, and I definitely like that. And I can definitely hear the marketing working throughout your head and your philosophy there, so you're probably pretty good at your other job too. That's an exceptional idea.
Could you imagine the impact that it could have on the city? And then now you go to the next Saturday or next Sunday game, and you got 10 times more kids in there. More
right,
kids,
they
more parents.
Be a part of it. Yep.
Yeah, more kids, more parents.
See,
that's
Matt,
what it is.
John,
that's,
you guys
I mean,
have to be listening. You need to sit down with Jeff here. He's got some good ideas.
Oh, no, man, that ain't my area of expertise. I play football. But, yeah, man, but, you know, I got a program right now that I'm currently getting off the ground, man. It's built to last, and it's mainly dealing with a lot of kids that's like that, that kind of just, you know, need that extra guidance and need that extra conversation sometimes and stuff like that. So, you know, that I say stuff like that because that's where my heart lies. You know, so in terms of what Jeff would do at a halftime show or something like that, that's what I would do. That's my joy outside of the game, you know. So
I can definitely respect that. And especially as your project gets up and going pretty well, we'll have you back on to give more information on that and how people can get involved and help it, you know, grow.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
And then my last question, it's a pretty easy question, I think, although I've heard some pretty good answers so far. What would your message for the fans be this year?
Come enjoy the party.
Exactly.
Come enjoy the party. Come enjoy the party, man, because it's going to be live. It's going to be live. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. And you know, we're going to try to make it as – we're going to get arena football back to arena football where everybody had fun. Every play was a big play, you know. And we want our fans to be as engaged in the game as we are, you know. So even if it's a first down, if it's a big first down, we're going to do something crazy. We want the whole building lit up, the whole game. The whole
absolutely.
Game. Everybody got to be involved.
I absolutely agree with that. And, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on tonight. We'll definitely have you on when the season gets kicked up and going. And good luck in all your endeavors and everything. And I look forward to seeing you on the field this year.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate your time. Thanks a lot. Look forward to seeing you somewhere later on in the season.
I'm going to do my best to make it over there for at least a game or so. So I look forward to meeting all you guys.
All right, as long as we're winning, you got to be in the building. So we'll see you soon.
Hey, definitely so. And have a great rest of your night, and thanks for coming on.
All right, cool. Thanks, man.
And, of course, that was wide receiver of your Texas Revolution, Jeff Willis. Also goes by Jeffrey, if you want to call him Jeffrey as well, but I like calling him Jeff. Just another super guy. Like I said, coming up in the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk to defensive back Cody Berry. We're going to talk to the best 1-2 running back punch I know of, Jordan Brown and Darius Fudge. And, you know, cannons up. Cannons up. Season's just around the corner. Some great Revolution actions coming. We're going to keep sending these guys to you so you can get to know them and everything. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York from Impact Media. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for allowing us to come on and talk about the Revolution. This has been Revolution Zone. We will see you guys next time.